Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.
Sports Radio FNZ back on a Wednesday, NBA draft day. Well, it's also Wednesday. 2 days from now, it'll be Jack Daniels Football Friday. We get you ready for all of your weekend and our college and pro, I'll spit it out, football. Pick up some of your favorite Jack Daniels and root for your favorite teams. A lot to get to. Roman Harper actually chiming in during the break via text on some things we were just talking about, which leads me into the next conversation. It is draft night, and I guess since our next guest can't catch a damn break and seem to play or coach a football game right now, maybe he can double as an NBA draft analyst for us. The head coach of the Charlotte 49ers, Will Healy, back with us on the Technicom hotline. Coach, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, and you do not want any of my insight as far as the draft is concerned, although I am fired up about the Hornets and the future, but it'll be interesting. I will watch it.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. Man, I know you don't want my sympathy or anybody else's, and I'm sure you're just, you know, turning right ahead. But, I mean, where's your head right now? Where's your team's head right now after a sixth game has been postponed so far this year?
You know, I mean, it's you kind of go back and you say, it's one of those things when we were talking in the summer or, you know, April or May, you're saying this could happen, but you think it won't happen to me. You know, and no way that we'll have, you know, be spot and go and have a game played and then a game canceled. And you think, you know, it'll be fine. It's just, and then you get into it and you're like, holy cow. I mean, we've had six now and really nine games that were on our original schedule that we haven't played. So where do you go from here? And how you respond is extremely important. I'm really proud of our guys and how they've responded. I mean, you know, last Friday, I addressed the team as we're out on the field ready for a Friday practice. And I said, guys, I have no idea if we're going to play tomorrow, but I expect you to be a pro and I expect you to go out here and get better. I know that the game can't catch us by surprise and we got to go get better today. And we got to enjoy an opportunity to be with each other because we don't know when that's going to be taken away from us. So our guys have been awesome. It doesn't make it any more fun for me to stand up there and tell them we got another game canceled, but we are hopeful that we will get to play a couple more. We've still got some more on the schedule.
You haven't played a game since October 31st. And again, I know that that's super frustrating. You touched on some things there that I think are interesting, but at the very least, you know, what were you expecting to see from 15th ranked Marshall? Doc Holliday's got a hell of a team up there and they're unbeaten. What was that game plan like? What were you expecting to see on Saturday?
I think they're really good. I think their quarterback is what makes them go, and it's probably the biggest difference in them from this year compared to last year. They've always got great athletes, you know, really skilled players, and it's a lot of the same makeup with a lot of those guys having a year to get bigger, stronger, and faster from last year's team. I think the biggest difference is the quarterback is playing at an extremely high level, you know, and I think they've done a really good job, you know. Doc's always been really good. Brad Lambert's done a great job with their defense. So would be a really difficult test. I'm hoping, you know, I don't know how it happens, but I'm obviously hopeful that any of these games that have been postponed, we can make up. But obviously they're the clubhouse leader to, you know, to win the conference and, you know, maybe play in a New Year's Six Bowl.
Will Healy, head football coach of the Charlotte 49ers. He's with us on the Technicom hotline. Coach, I've seen it written. I've even seen – it's not just the writers. I've seen a couple of former players say it, and I don't think they're in the majority necessarily because I don't know many diehard college football fans that, you know, desperately want to see the season end. But there are those that, you know, are of the opinion that after all of this and seeing the conditions worsen and more games being postponed or called off, that, you know, maybe the smartest thing to do would be to call off the college football season the rest of the way. What do you say to those people who have that opinion?
I want to make the best decision for our players and also make sure that whatever decision that they want is something that we can do safely. And we are still, with our medical supervision and our doctors, and we are still very hopeful that we can do both. I have not lost faith in that. I think our players want to continue to play. I think they've learned a ton about each other because they've faced a lot of adversity over the last 7 or 8 months, and canceling games has obviously added to it. I think from a mental health perspective, I think from a happiness perspective, these guys want to try to find ways to continue to play. It's obviously a difficult time to make that happen because not only do you have COVID, but now you've kind of got your typical cold and flu season that makes it more difficult to distinguish symptoms. But, I want to do what's the safest thing to do and what's the right thing to do for our players. And I know our players want to continue to do this. So you try to find the safest way to make that happen. And you learn from your mistakes and you learn how you can even do a better job of keeping them, away from risk. And that's my job right now is to learn and educate myself and find better ways to do things.
Are you concerned that this, hampers the momentum of your program, the trajectory of your program? How do you avoid that? How do you keep that from happening, knowing that, you've been postponed or called off 6 times and you're at the very least not going to get to play as many football games as you originally anticipated?
Yeah, I mean, obviously when we started off, I didn't expect to be sitting here at 2-3, going towards the end of November. And we expected to make momentum and waves with what type of football team we had this year. And I still feel like if we get some chances to get back on the field, we can do that. Not that that's the most important thing right now. I think that if you can create a buzz before you can play a game, you can create a buzz based on some of the results that we've had and the recruiting that we're doing. And it makes it more difficult, but I think we can definitely find a way to make sure that people understand this program's still heading in the right direction.
As we're talking here, I just saw it come across the wire. Another game being called off for the weekend. Number 25, Raging Cajuns, Billy Napier's club. Their game against Central Arkansas has been canceled due to COVID concerns with the Raging Cajuns. So add another game to the list of those that have been called off this weekend. How do you keep these guys up right now? How do you look ahead to Western Kentucky, keep them on the right path, and continue to do the right things?
What a challenge. It's like people act like motivating a team after a loss is hard.
Right.
How about motivating a team after 6 canceled games? Awesome challenge. And that's my job. I know what I signed up for. I knew I had a feeling on what we'd be getting into. I can't say that I would have predicted us having 6 games canceled, but this is what we signed up for whenever we came back and decided we wanted to play football. So it's my job to handle it the best way I know how. And the one thing you're not going to tell me is that this football team is going to lose interest or not be motivated to come back and do special things. I believe in this group. I believe in our staff. This is our job. We're tested. And I'm very confident in how we'll come out on the other end.
About 20 minutes ago, I played some audio from Dabo Swinney yesterday. Dabo was commenting on the South Carolina news from over the weekend that Will Muschamp had been let go. I'll offer you the same opportunity. They did something down there that a lot of us didn't expect that maybe anybody would do, and that was make a change in the middle of the season. Any thoughts on Will Muschamp being let go at South Carolina?
I mean, you hate when anybody's fired because everybody talks about, man, Muschamp's walking away with $13.6 million, and I get that. I understand that side of it. But there's a lot of people in that building that are affected right now. And in times of, uncertainty, I mean, now you have people uncertain about what they're going to do with their families. And I'm not talking about the coordinators and all that stuff, the guys making billions, $1 million. They'll be fine. They're great coaches. They'll find another job. I'm talking about the ones that are the recruiting assistant or the, you know, assistant strength coach, the guys that aren't making a whole lot of money and have to find a way to be able to help their family. And especially around the Christmas season, which is when most of these changes happen, you know, it's difficult. And you're praying for them. And, you know, that, you know, I don't know much, Champ, but I would imagine, you know, if I was in that situation, and I'm sure he's doing the same, you're finding ways to be able to help the people around you because that's what's most important.
So yeah.
You hate when it happens because you don't ever want it to happen to you, but this is what you sign up for. You sign up for being, you know, being criticized. You sign up for the successes. You sign up for the recruiting, and you sign up, you know, that at some point in time you can get fired. But we all know what we signed up for.
Yeah, and in that same vein, since, you know, you're clearly in a mood to be very honest here, and I'd love your perspective on pretty much everything. As Spurrier's talked about this, Coach K's talked about this, the spotlight's really being shown right now on South Carolina and all the buyout money to pay Will Muschamp to not coach that team. And the conversation's back again that, you know, is it in the best interest to sign up these coaches with big buyout numbers, knowing that you might have to throw money away to them to not coach your football team? I think we all want to be paid as much as we reasonably can and want to be paid what the market says we're worth, you know, but in the face of what you're talking about, layoffs and furloughs and, you know, people below that part of the pecking order being impacted, is that a part of college football that you think needs to be reexamined? How should that be handled moving forward?
Well, I don't think there's anybody who would ever question what Nick Saban or Dabo Sweeney have done for their university.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, I mean, you look at the amount of applications, you look at why people want to go to Alabama and Clemson right now, you look at what it's done to bring notoriety to the university, and I get why people are paid that. You know, I think what makes it difficult is, you know, people in the SEC think they got to try to stick around what Alabama is trying to pay Nick Saban just because they don't want their job to not seem as important. I mean, I'm a believer in, you know, I think you need to go earn what you make. And at any point in time when you're not, look, I signed up for this. I knew I needed to earn it. I know it, ultimately it's about wins and losses. I've got to handle this program the best way I know how, where I can sleep with myself at night and know that what happens on a day-to-day basis in our building is not about wins and losses. That's a byproduct of what we do and how we do it. But I know ultimately I'm going to be judged. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get fired. I'm going to, you know, keep a job based on how many games I win. And it seems like this time of year, you know, you get to November and there's two rumors. There's your coaches getting fired or your coaches getting another job. And even Dabo, you know, somebody wants to know if he's going to the NFL, or Saban, you know, what if he's going to retire or take an NFL job. That's the season that we're in right now. But, I think it's about taking care of the people around you. And to me, the best leaders are the ones that, you know, make sure that their workers have, nobody gives them a better experience than they do. So that's my job. And, you know, what people get paid and all that stuff, look, that's way above my pay grade, but I don't think you can argue with what some of the, you know, the best of the best have been able to do for their university or their city.
You're a good man. Your insight is genuinely always appreciated. You always talk candidly. We appreciate that very much, Coach. Good to hear from you. Sorry that, you know, things worked out the way they did again this week, but hopefully we're getting to watch you back at it next week against Western Kentucky, buddy. Appreciate it.
Let's do it. Thanks, Kyle. Have a great day.
There you go. Will Healy, head football coach of the Charlotte 49ers, with us on the Technicom hotline, you know, and offering some very interesting, very candid thoughts on a lot of things right there. The possible cancellation of football and big buyout contracts, buyout numbers for coaches. Roman Harper, by the way, chiming in, hearing that conversation both before our interview with Will and during. And he said, you know, whoever's talking about shutting down the rest of the season clearly never played sports, and says that, you know, Mac Jones and his Heisman chances don't want to quit. Kyle Trask and his Heisman hopes don't want to quit. He said Texas A&M, their magical run, they don't want to quit. Cincinnati and BYU vying to be the first group of five teams to bust into the college football playoff, they don't want to quit. And I think he makes the right point. I understand why that conversation needs to be had. I also understand that I think that conversation is being had in vain, because the money is going to dictate whatever they do, and, well, that whatever will be to continue playing, period. That's what I would expect to see. And I think ultimately that perspective and the money involved wins out. But again, another game canceled during the conversation there. Number 25, the Raging Cajuns, UL Lafayette, Billy Napier's club, has had their game called off this weekend. And Billy Napier may very well be the next head coach at South Carolina. So Maybe just extra time for him to plan the move. We'll see. But I tell you what, when we come back, I have some more thoughts on the NBA draft. Obviously, a huge night for Hornets fans. But first things first, when we come back, breaking news and a wild story out of New York City. I'll tell you next here in the clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ.
Sports Radio FNZ.
The Panthers live here.
Release a somersault into the end zone for the touchdown.
We are Charlotte.
Sports Radio FNZ.
Sports Radio FNZ, back on a Wednesday. No ordinary Wednesday, as you know. It is NBA draft night. Sports Radio FNZ, and the Charlotte Hornets hold the third overall selection for this year's NBA draft. Sports Radio FNZ, the only place to get all of the exclusive behind-the-scenes details. The Charlotte Hornets' third overall pick is the team's highest selection since 2012. Stick around and see who will be the next great selection for our Charlotte Hornets only on Sports Radio FNZ. Big thanks to Will Healy, head coach of the Charlotte 49ers, for joining us in the previous segment. Good conversation. He is an honest, candid dude. And there aren't a lot of coaches who would willingly take those questions about Muschamp and about buyouts. And some might, you know, sidestep it or skirt it or give a short answer and move on. But you know, Will's thoughtful, and Will is interested in talking and having a conversation. And I think that's obviously why I like him, why so many listeners appear to enjoy him, even if they're not 49ers fans. But it's a big part of why he's become such a, you know, rising star, even hot commodity in the world of college football. And where he goes next, I don't know. And it might not be anywhere anytime really soon. You know, based on, you know, what we thought would happen, more or less happening outside of Will Muschamp getting fired, not a real indication that much else is going to change in college football yet. The only thing I think could change at Michigan, for instance, might be Jim Harbaugh going back to the NFL. Smoke, I don't think they're firing Harbaugh in Ann Arbor, but, you know, I could see a scenario in which Jim Harbaugh would go back to the NFL to avoid the axe at Michigan. But even that, I wouldn't bet on.
I don't think any NFL coach is going to go after Jim Harbaugh now, after what's happened the past few years at Michigan, especially this year.
Oh, don't be. I wouldn't put. I mean, look, we just watched Jerry Jones hire Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, true.
Mike McCarthy just duped Jerry Jones into hiring him and did so by cloaking himself in a couple of analytics books and pretending that, you know, he had somehow transformed himself into a brand new guy. And look, I say that knowing that next year Mike McCarthy could prove all the doubters wrong and, you know, and make us all eat crow. But let's not put it past the NFL. Even if there is a youth movement, a trend of younger coaches in the NFL right now, let's not put it past an NFL organization, you know, to go the Harbaugh route, to just continue going the retread route in general. And speaking of, by the way, did you see some of the backlash in Houston the other day about the possibility of Romeo Crennel sticking around long term?
I can understand that one.
Oh, my. Yeah. Right.
Look, Romeo, I think, is a very good coach, a defense coordinator. And honestly, his head coaching record in Cleveland, I don't think gets enough credit. I mean, he got the Browns to 10 wins in 2007, so that does deserve to be warranted, but he's already been a coach twice. Why? I mean, you're trying to save Deshaun Watson, not kill him.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Romeo Crennel's garnered a lot of respect in his career as a defensive-minded coach, a coordinator, certainly, you know, with Belichick and Foxborough, but, man, I just can't see it. Now, speaking of the NFL, I told you there was a wild story out of New York that, and I'm going to use air quotes here, broke within the last half hour to 45 minutes. And I looked down and noticed it during the tail end of my conversation with Will Healy. So Jason McIntyre of Fox Sports 1, I think Fox Sports in general, but I know FS1. Jason McIntyre, after it was announced that the New York Giants had done something that was otherwise kind of nondescript, wasn't going to make headlines outside of New York City in all likelihood, they fired their offensive line coach, Mark Colombo. Well, a couple of minutes thereafter, Jason McIntyre tweets, quote, "Scoop," in all capital letters. Man's got a scoop. "Scoop, I'm told New York Giants coaches Joe Judge and Mark Colombo got into a fist fight this morning. Punches thrown. I'm told Colombo got the better of him and Judge fired him instantly," end quote. So again, Jason McIntyre, FS1, Fox Sports, reporting that Joe Judge, head coach of the Giants, got into a fist fight with his now former offensive line coach, Mark Colombo, and it resulted in Colombo both getting the better of him and then getting the immediate pink slip from Joe Judge. The problem as we see it now, though, in Smoke, there was one reporter in particular that you pointed out as, you know, refuting this or contradicting it,
So Jason McIntyre reports this, but then I guess shortly after, there's a flood of Giants beat reporters that are saying that there was never a word. That word of physical altercation was, quote, absolutely false in every way, end quote. I want to believe that there was a fist fight in the Giants locker room earlier today, late this morning. I don't know that I can believe it right now, because since McIntyre's report that there was, there have been a couple of beat writers saying, no, that's not true. It didn't happen. But damn, I want that to be true.
You know, I'm going to go one step further than you. I also want there to be a fist fight, and I want to be the person to break it up to be Dave Gettleman. He walks in. Whoa, we got a big fist fight here. You're not hog molly, so split it up. We can't be having this here, guys.
Oh.
And I mean, this is just a couple days after, apparently on the broadcast, Dave Gettleman told the broadcasters, you know, I've been having people say to us that we've had the best 2-7 team in NFL history. We got things going. We're going in the right direction. So, I mean, things aren't getting any better in New York for the Giants. I mean, yeah, you're better than the Jets, but that's not saying much whatsoever.
So apparently, according, by the way, so to add on to this report, to this story, the Giants have hired Dave DeGuglielmo to take, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, Dave DeGuglielmo to take over as the offensive line coach up there. And Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network, NFL Media, reporting that the plan was to bring in DeGuglielmo to work with the former offensive line coach Mark Colombo, because Joe Judge, the head coach, had been spending more time working with the offensive line than he had planned, and that Colombo's verbal reaction led to the change in his employment status. So at least according to Mike Garofalo, it may not have been a fist fight, but simply that the fact Joe Judge brought in extra help in the form of Dave DeGuglielmo to help Mark Colombo led to an altercation that then meant that Judge was firing Mark Colombo sans fist fight. I still hope that there's the possibility of a fist fight somewhere in that locker room, but apparently it's looking less and less likely. Go ahead. Jump in there.
I was just going to say, I don't know what's more weird about this, the fact that there may have or may not have been a fist fight, or the fact that apparently Joe Judge likes to get offensive line coaches with the most syllables in their last name. What was it? Guglubio?
DeGuglielmo.
DeGuglielmo.
And the DeGuglielmo, the L part of it, I mean, that it's understated. That's not just a L-A or an L-E or an L-E. That's an L-E. L-I-E-L, DeGuglielmo, is the way it's actually spelled. So, yeah, you're right. They're not really being all that conservative or efficient with the letters. Now, a texter writes in, Building Center text line, to say, KB, the Panthers need to hire the fired offensive line coach as an offensive lineman. I mean, I at least work him out, right? What could it hurt? At least work the guy out. The worst you can do is send him packing when he's done. I love that text. That's pretty good. Yeah, the Panthers could use a little bit of help still on the interior of the offensive line. And by the way, it is official now. This coming out just minutes ago from the Carolina Panthers official Twitter account across the social media platforms and on their website. And the reporters have picked up on this as well. Christian McCaffrey is now not expected to play, expected to miss Sunday's game against the Detroit Lions. He's now expected to not play. That's the way it was phrased on this report from Panthers.com on Twitter. McCaffrey not expected to play against the Lions. That's not exactly the same as ruled out, because in this release, in this article at Panthers.com, it literally reads, the last sentence of it, quote, if McCaffrey is ultimately ruled out, Mike Davis would likely get another start. Davis has totaled 675 yards from scrimmage and 4 touchdowns in 2020, end quote. So that's an interesting way of phrasing that, Smoke, that, you know, you're putting it out there that McCaffrey not expected to play, but in the final sentence of this release, if McCaffrey is ultimately ruled out. So I guess they're still allowing for the possibility.
It's basically, so you're saying there's a chance. I mean, if the team's putting this as a press release, it's pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered. It's a 99.999% chance now that Christian McCaffrey will not be playing this week. If it was, you know, Adam Schefter, I'd still take it very heavily. But now that the team's coming out with this, yeah, it looks like McCaffrey's going to be well-rested by the time next Monday comes.
And I don't know if this is the way they should go, and I hate to make these assertions, because I don't know how Christian McCaffrey's going to feel 7-8 days from now, you know, next Wednesday, next Thursday, leading into the game against the Minnesota Vikings on the road. But the Panthers have the Lions this coming Sunday at home, and then they go to Minnesota to U.S. Bank Stadium to face the Vikings next Sunday, and then they have a week off. They have a bye week before getting back in action against the Broncos here in Charlotte on December the 13th. So they have the Lions, then the Vikings next week, then a bye week. And there are plenty of those out there right now, Panthers fans and even some in the media suggesting the smartest thing here to do might be just wait to bring Christian McCaffrey back after the bye week. You know, give him a couple of weeks again to get completely healthy. I mean, that sounds good. It sounds cautious. It even makes some sense in a season where you know at this point you're not going to the postseason and you know there's not much else, you know, to worry about. But at the same time, you pay the guy to play football. He wants to play football. If he's healthy, he's going to want to be out there. Hell, Matt Rhule's going to want him out there. You know, so I can't say just hold him out until after the bye week, even though there is some, you know, validity and some logic to that. If he feels good 7-8 days from now, he's going to play. I mean, that's the way it's going to go. And this was already a team. It's not as if they're, you know, Super Bowl aspirations or playoff aspirations just vanished into thin air, you know, or that all of this comes as a surprise because we thought this team would be something more than it is right now. That's not the case. Right. So I understand why there's a mindset of, eh, shut him down, save him for next year. You already committed all that money to him. So don't be, eh, he gets paid to play football. He likes to play football. And yeah, there's a balance that needs to be struck between, you know, being reckless and careless and protecting your most important offensive asset. You got to strike the balance. If he's healthy, play him next week. If it's questionable, okay, hold him out until after the bye week. I think that's the smart thing to do. Boy, we got texters all over the Building Center text line right now. They're loving this New York Giants story. One guy saying, so we can't trust the media reports. Shocker. Well, okay, consider the source here. I'll put it that way. Jason McIntyre is not exactly Adam Schefter. Okay, that's not his gig. He's not Adam Schefter, Field Yates. He's not an NFL insider. Jason McIntyre, that is. Matter of fact, Tim on the Building Center text line saying Jason McIntyre isn't a reporter and then goes on to call him some things that I can't read on the air, but that he's more of a personality, less of a reporter in the know. And I would agree with that. Jason McIntyre is not the guy you go to when you want breaking solid NFL news. No shot at him. He's just not the guy you're looking at, period. And so I'm glad you pointed that out. Chad saying there was definitely no fist fight. No way Joe Judge is stupid enough to trade hands with Mark Colombo due to 6'8", 320. Judge would be dead. Yeah, I mean, your logic is sound, Chad. I didn't know the full dimensions on Mark Colombo when I saw that story, but I did a quick check, and the tail of the tape is very obvious here. If Joe Judge did bite off more than he could chew and pick a fist fight with Mark Colombo, then Joe Judge might just have what's coming to him.
Look, if that is actually true and Joe Judge decided to get in a fist fight with a man that size, New York, you're screwed. I mean, you have an idiot as a head coach if that's the case.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, before we step aside, big night tonight for the Hornets. Big day tomorrow, both for the Hornets and for Sports Radio FNZ. First thing tomorrow morning on the Mac Attack, whoever the Charlotte Hornets select tonight in the first round. I almost said third overall pick, which I think is likely, but you never know. Whoever they pick tonight in the first round will join Mac and T-Bone. First thing tomorrow morning on the Mac Attack. Then Mitch Kupchak, GM, President, Basketball Operations, will join me here in the clubhouse, followed by Coach James Borrego with Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll have wall-to-wall full-day coverage of the Hornets draft. Pick 3, but also 32 and 56. I'm excited for this tonight, man. I can't wait. I can't wait for this tonight. This is going to be fun. All right, we'll come back. We got some housekeeping to do. We'll put a bow on this show. We'll catch you up on the rewind, and you will hear when we come back Corey Miller's impassioned rant about the state of the South Carolina Gamecocks. You're in the clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ.
Sports Radio FNZ.
The ACC plays here.
Big hits! They're gonna do it for you, bud!
We are Charlotte.
Sports Radio FNZ.
One final time here on Sports Radio FNZ. Kyle Bailey with you. It's the clubhouse. Evan Smoke Ludwig always in the cockpit, keeping us between the navigational beacons. And coming up in about 20 minutes, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Wilson will poke his head in here and chat with us coming up in a couple of minutes. Before we get to that, one final reminder today anyway, that 7 days from now, 1 week from today, November 25th, it is the 18th annual WFNZ Street Turkeys presented by Ram Pavement, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the WFNZ Harris Teeter Doghouse, powered by Coca-Cola, and benefits our friends at Second Harvest Food Bank of Metrolina and Loaves and Fishes. Drive through, donate a frozen turkey, canned goods, or make a monetary donation. We're trying to break the records last year of $25,000 raised, 1,700 frozen turkeys, and 10,000 pounds of canned and boxed food. Special thanks to Offutt Kerman and Piedmont Natural Gas. Before I get to the rewind here, there is a name that I want to mention, and I'm glad, first of all, that I was reminded to do so. Shout out to Coach Ronnie Hunter, the defensive backs coach, cornerbacks coach, Mountain Island Charter School out in Mount Holly. Hit me up both on Twitter and on the text line to remind me that a name that did come up a couple of weeks ago needs to be brought back today, and that is Gastonia native Nate Hinton, who will likely, at least if you believe some of the mock drafts here, likely hear his name called in the draft tonight. You know, Nate Hinton is, again, a Gastonia native looking to fall in line with the likes of James Worthy and Sleepy Floyd and Hassan Whiteside in Gastonia natives turned NBA players. Nate Hinton spent the last 2 years in Houston with the Cougars with Kelvin Sampson, and that was a team that before everything was shut down this past spring was a two-seed, you know, in the NCAA tournament. And Nate Hinton, according to Kevin Pelton of ESPN.com, Pelton has him projected to go 29th overall to the Toronto Raptors tonight. Some in the Athletic and Bleacher Report are projecting Nate Hinton to go in the second round, and the Hornets have a couple of second-round picks. So I think it all depends on what they do with the third overall pick, if they're looking for, you know, more backcourt help. But, you know, shout out to Nate Hinton at the very least on a big night for him and his family and his basketball career. Best of luck to them tonight, and I appreciate Coach Hunter reminding us of that.
Also, Coach Sampson from Laurinburg, North Carolina. So another North Carolina native that will have another draft pick probably go into the NBA. He's really done a great job at Houston over the past few years.
Love it. Love it. There we go. So shout out to Nate Hinton, to Gastonia, and to Kelvin Sampson and everybody else associated with the Carolinas tonight as we get to the NBA draft. But before we get there, we got to catch you up on what you've missed. It's time for the Rewind. And we go back to hour number two this morning. Corey Miller, pastor of pain, decade in the NFL as a linebacker, played alongside Lawrence Taylor with the New York Giants, always a Gamecock, and ranting about the Gamecocks this morning and their decision, Ray Tanner's decision, to fire Will Muschamp.
This was a hard year, in my opinion, to make this decision. You know, I mean, there's other teams. Penn State hadn't won a game. Michigan's struggling. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are struggling. So South Carolina with a young football team, still trying to figure out who they are, trying to find an identity. And, yeah, it is the wins. Now, I understand that, Ray Tanner, but besides that five-year period, South Carolina ain't really won a ton of football games. I'm not saying you settle. I'm not saying that you accept. I'm saying that a program like South Carolina is an extremely difficult job unless you catch it like Spurrier did when South Carolina had some of the best talent in the country, KB, in the country, and the SEC East was extremely down, and they got the ball rolling. And then they dropped the ball because they stopped recruiting. They had a chance to do what Clemson did in Dabo to turn the program around, but they had a coach who quit on them in Steve Spurrier. And now you want to fire a man that's two games under 500 in his career. I got it. But a guy like Will Muschamp, it takes time to turn this program around. I'm sorry.
I'm glad Corey said it because I feel bad even saying it because I got so many South Carolina fans and friends, I should say, in my immediate orbit. They're passionate. They love their school. They love their program. But, you know, Corey's right. There's a decent chance you're having the same conversation 4 or 5 years down the road. Not because there's anything inherently wrong with South Carolina. It's just that that's been the DNA of that program for the longest time. You know, Steve Spurrier exceeded the expectations. He exceeded, you know, what's normal at South Carolina. Can you find somebody else to do it again? Yeah, absolutely. But you got to get it right. And maybe Ray Tanner will, maybe he won't. I don't know if Hugh Freeze is right. I don't know if Billy Napier is right. I think you could do a hell of a lot worse than both of them just from a football standpoint. There's also more to it than that. Later in the show, Paul Biancardi, National Recruiting Director, College Basketball Recruiting Director, ESPN, and former Horizon League Coach of the Year at Wright State on James Wiseman and what he sees as a couple of concerns for a player he otherwise really likes.
I've watched James Wiseman since he was a sophomore in high school. I've been in the gym with him at practice, after practice, before practice. I watch him shoot the ball facing the basket. He started out about 10 feet and creeped out to 12 to 15. And by the time he was a senior, Kyle, he was making threes and shooting drills. Now, he doesn't shoot a lot of them in high school. He didn't shoot a lot of them in high school. We didn't get a chance to see him at Memphis all that much. Three games, he had a high field goal percentage. As Jay mentioned, if he played the whole season, I think teams would be salivating for him. He can shoot it facing up, and I'll tell you what he has. He has a mean left-handed jump hook over his right shoulder. He can score one-on-one in the post, but right now, as he enters the NBA, what he gives you is that ultimate rim protection, a rebounder, a big who can run and finish, a screener who can roll and dunk. And I believe right now he can short roll and make that 12 to 15 footer.
There you go. I mean, really high praise from Paul this morning for James Wiseman. He loves him. The David Robinson comp was, let's just say, interesting. Some good reasons and, you know, maybe some reasons that make you think about the state of the big man in the NBA. We can talk about that in a second with Nick Wilson. But finally, Will Healy, head football coach of the Charlotte 49ers, tried to get him to double as an NBA draft analyst this week since, once again, he's got nothing to do Saturday with their game against Marshall being canceled. But Will offered some thoughts on the mindset of his team after a sixth game called off or postponed this year.
We've had six now, and really nine games that were on our original schedule that we haven't played. So where do you go from here? And how you respond is extremely important. I'm really proud of our guys and how they've responded. I mean, you know, last Friday, I addressed the team as we're out on the field ready for a Friday practice. And I said, guys, I have no idea if we're going to play tomorrow. But I expect you to be a pro, and I expect you to go out here and get better. I know that the game can't catch us by surprise, and we got to go get better today. And we got to enjoy an opportunity to be with each other because we don't know when that's going to be taken away from us. So our guys have been awesome. It doesn't make it any more fun for me to stand up there and tell them we got another game canceled, but we are hopeful that we will get to play a couple more. We've still got some more on the schedule.
Called off again this weekend. No game against 15th-ranked Marshall. They'll hope to make it up. They do still have Western Kentucky on the schedule for next Saturday night at 7 o'clock here in Charlotte. Here's hoping they can make that happen. That's the Rewind. A look back into the show brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download it, use it, stream us, carry WFNZ in your pocket everywhere you go, and use that Rewind feature. It's like DVR for radio. Download the Radio.com app today. Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet, coming up in about 12 minutes, and Nick Wilson back in studio. Sir, how are you?
Gentlemen, how are we doing today, buddy?
Hungry. Good also. Let me also throw it out there real quick for the folks listening. Smoke and I will be doing our regular Twitch post-game show here in a couple of minutes. The one thing, you got about 4 minutes here to send it in. The one thing you want us to talk about on Twitch today, it's going to have to be a shorter post-game Twitch than usual. So give us the one most important thing that we have to talk about on the Twitch stream. Text it to me right now. We'll get to that one thing after the show.
I would like to commend you for doing the opposite. I wasn't even the opposite. You've not done what the Mac Attack has done, which is attack Nick Wilson and Stan Norfleet, because we're going to bring and we're going to positively imagine Russell Westbrook in that mint green Jersey City edition until it happens. You have not attacked us on this. And for that, there is a place in the Russ bandwagon. When it happens, I know right now you're not ready to hop on.
No.
But I'm telling you, when it happens and everybody else invariably hops on, I will not call you out should you do it. I am focused, laser focused on the morning show.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll say this. If they wow me with a deal, they're not going to hurt my feelings. It's to me, and you've probably heard me say this, it's always been about what it would likely cost to make it happen. Mm-hmm. I don't want them leveraging the future. I don't want them giving things away to abandon the plan. However, if you can make that work in a deal that makes sense for both sides, cool. I'd love to watch Russ here.
You hear what Windhorst said?
I've heard a lot of things he said.
Windhorst this week said, for those of you thinking that Russ is going to bring back ones or twos or anything, that the best case scenario was Nicky Batum.
Yeah.
So the whole thing that I've said is there's a trade out there, which means with Terry Rozier and Nicky Batum for Russell Westbrook and the 16th pick. Because you need to be incentivized to take on that contract, the 16th pick or one of their future firsts, fine by me. And then from there, they're going to get out of half of Russ's contract next year, and then they have another piece in Terry Rozier where they might be able next offseason or this trade deadline to recoup the thing that they give up.
No, I think, first of all, I'm still skeptical they'll take that deal. Houston, that is. If they would take that deal, sign me up.
Yes.
You know, because again, I think that that's where you start to wade into the territory that I could see it. Mm-hmm. I still have some reservations about a guy 32 making that much money who's
so
reliant upon athleticism. At the same time, I mean, Chris Paul at 36 years old just got dealt, I mean, for a king's ransom.
I also think Russ has a perception problem right now.
Well, he does have a perception problem.
And the perception problem is it's all his fault in Houston. Who had that last year? CP3.
Well, yes.
And a year later, his value is significantly higher. Last year, Houston had to pay. It wasn't just about giving up first for Russ. It was about giving up first so that OKC would take on the contract of CP3. A year later, the Thunder are out here getting another first for CP3. It's all about perception in the NBA, and that's why I think if you can capitalize on the NBA's perception problems, and a guy like Russell Westbrook who busts his butt, who plays his butt off, who's a little bit of a nut on the court, man, then I think there's an inefficiency there that I think you can exploit.
Well, sure. And look, I think it needs to be pointed out, too, that according to their new GM down there, Raphael Stone, these were his words. They're willing to get uncomfortable this season. And by that, he meant they're not just going to give away Harden and Westbrook if they need to get a little bit uncomfortable. I believe him, too. He said it with conviction. He said it with his chest. I'm fascinated by this whole scenario.
I think Tillman Fertitta is an idiot. Sorry, not in business. Brilliant businessman, does what he does. But in terms of running a basketball operation, he has no idea how to present himself or his organization. Don't be shocked. The second they trade Harden, don't be shocked if they then at the same time send Russ bye-bye so they cannot take the PR hit of losing Russ for nothing.
Have a good show, buddy. Thanks. Looking forward to it. All right, don't forget, we tip our caps courtesy of Twin Peaks. November 28th, all eyes on the ring as Mike Tyson takes on Roy Jones Jr. Catch all the action at Twin Peaks. Smoke, what you got?
Tipping a cap to Corey Miller, serving out sermons here on this Wednesday.
I'll tip my cap to Joe Judge for not fighting Mark Colombo. That was a better decision. Reportedly. You're allegedly. Accusatorily. I don't know what the word should be. We're back tomorrow. Looking forward to it. A big Thursday show. Mitch Kupchak will join me tomorrow to react to whatever they do tonight in the NFL. NBA draft. I'm getting out of here, folks. For Evan Smoke Ludwig, I'm Kyle Bailey. This has been The Clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ.
Shake and bake.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.